This Sunday's Dharma talk is on understanding life, its purpose and meaning by Brother Teo Ken Kun. Brother Teo Ken Kun graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He had been a spiritual practitioner and meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with all who are keen in the search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death, and all mental sufferings to become a more virtuous, noble and wiser human being. He gives talks and holds meditation and Dharma classes at various meditation centers. Let us now invite Brother Teo to give us, to deliver his Dharma talk this morning. Sadhu.
Thank you so much for the kind introduction. So, very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dharma. So, today's topic, I think, is very relevant to all of us. The title is Understanding Life, Its Meaning and Purpose, or Its Purpose and Meaning. What we are trying to share here today is, as a Buddhist, based on our Buddhist understanding, we shall approach this particular question of what is life and how can we develop the understanding of life. And this is very important for all of us. If you really want to live life meaningfully, you need to understand life. Otherwise, you will never be able to live the proper life. Then for most people who don't have this understanding, maybe we can say they are not so fortunate. They will find themselves entangled with life. There are so many things that can cause suffering and misery in life. So if you don't understand what is going on and how come all this, what they call affliction, arise in life, then when you are confronted with situation that you cannot understand and cannot develop the clear understanding, then you will get yourself entangled. Then the result of it is, like what the Buddha says, suffering. And suffering is very real. It happens everywhere. So as you go through life, you will start to understand what suffering is. Because situation that actually doesn't maybe go your way. In life, when you confront various type of challenges, various type of issue, and when you cannot resolve them, you will be afflicted by it. Then your mind suffer. That's why you hear a lot about how people get into a lot of mental suffering. They become very sorrowful. Sorrow, lamentation, sadness leading to depression are very common. Then fear, insecurity, very depressed, unhappy mental states. They are all the outcome of not understanding life. So today's topic, we will try to zero in to develop this understanding so that you can cope with the various challenges in life. Because as you go through life, life is very complicated. So there are various great intricacy and challenges that one need to confront. Then as we confront, we will need to develop what the Buddha called wisdom. Without wisdom, suffering will arise. Then if we look at life, especially in nowadays modern society, everything is moving at a very fast pace. And because of that, life at times can be very, very stressful, very hectic, very demanding, very competitive, and at times provocative too. Then besides all this, we also have to build up our career, develop our financial freedom, because there are so many things that you need in order to survive and to bring about the condition for good life. So without a proper understanding of life, there is no way we can develop all this. Then as Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate because of the great wisdom of Lord Buddha. He was able to summarize to us all of life, the mundane and supramundane aspect, into just four simple truths that he called the Four Noble Truths. And these Four Noble Truths are the essence of his teaching. So as a Buddhist, understanding this Four Noble Truths is the most important. And when you understand this Four Noble Truths, it's like you understand the secret of life. Then you will know how to live life. Because there is no living being so far apart from the Buddha who can summarize all of life into just four simple truths. And he called this noble truth because these are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones when you become what they call, when you are able to understand this truth. That's why in Pali it's called the Arya Satcha. Arya are noble ones or enlightened ones. Satcha is truth. So they are called noble truth. So maybe I will write down this Four Noble Truth so that you can develop the understanding. Yeah. The first noble truth, the Buddha talks about the noble truth of suffering. The first noble truth is or dukkha. In Pali, the word is dukkha. But do not get this confused by those who don't have the understanding, especially those who are very keen to criticize the Buddhist teaching. I believe you often heard of this comment, isn't it? Why you want to go and believe in Buddhism? Buddhism only talk about suffering, nothing else. Misery. There is no love. There is no joy, no happiness in life. You see, whereas you come to a religion, we talk about love and all those things. So, if you don't have an in-depth understanding of this Buddhist teaching, then you can become gullible and maybe you tend to believe what people tell you. Then also as Buddhists, I find that many Buddhists cannot actually stand up to all this type of command. So today I hope to impart this understanding to all of us. Yeah? When the Buddha talked about the first noble truth of dukkha or suffering, he doesn't mean that life is suffering. What he means is there are a lot of realities in life when you go through life. He said there are 8 main realities that you need to confront if you live life long enough. And as you confront this reality, the Buddha said, if you don't have wisdom, suffering will be the result. That's why this noble truth talks about the prevalence of suffering in life. Prevalence of suffering. So this is a very important understanding to overcome the misconception that people talk about Buddhism. So what are the realities in life that can actually give rise to suffering if you don't have the wisdom? So the Buddha said there are 8 realities. Namely, the first 4 I think we are familiar. Birth, old age, sickness and death. Sickness and death. This one in Mandarin is called 生老病死. So So these are very common occurrence. Ever since we are born, we have to go through birth. Wherever there is birth, the Buddha said, you have to confront old age, sickness, and death. And these are the realities. Even as a kid, when we grew up, we experience life. Then we go to school through our education. Then after we graduate, we maybe go into the career field. Then as we go through the career field, we also meet with a lot of life situation that can be very stressful, very miserable. Then after that, you may contemplate to get married, have a family, or even you remain as a bachelor. You have to still slog through life to develop financial independence, to actually develop what they call outstanding career, or to look forward to fulfill your life mission and all those things. Then as you strive in life to gather all those things, you will start to witness your grandparent getting old, getting sick, confronting death. Then sometimes for those who are elder, even your parent too. Then for our generation, we ourselves are going through all this old age, sickness and death. Especially old age, sickness and death, it can be very traumatic when you confront them. And nowadays, traumatic diseases are very common, like cancer, stroke, heart attack, HIV, and all the various type of very traumatic type of diseases. Then confronting death is, of course, very easy to understand. When the breadwinner of the family suddenly, because of accident or nature's disaster or some disease or health, suddenly separate or pass away. So these are all that we have to confront as a living being if we live long enough. Then after that, the Buddha said the fifth reality is separation. Separation from loved ones. Loved ones. And your prized possession. Things that you hold on to dearly. This one is also very traumatic. Separation can occur in many ways. First way is, of course, through death. Okay? Then there is separation, and it can be very traumatic. The second way, which is equally traumatic, is relationship failure. When there is a pending separation from your loved ones. For those who are married, you may end up in divorce and all those things. For those who are not married, when they decide to separate from the relationship, when you are jilted and all those things, it can be very traumatic too. So separation is one of the very severe reality that we need to confront with understanding. Otherwise, you become miserable, afflicted. And this one, those who have experienced them, they will know. Then when I talk about price, possession. Things that you hold on to dearly, if you lose them, like your wealth, your property, your investment, your business, or whatever antique that you actually hold on to very dearly. If because of certain condition, like economic crisis, or a bad business decision, or because of your negative karma, you succumb to what they call those who are not so honest, then you get cheated. So it can lead to downfall. Then sometimes because of nature's disaster, like tsunami, building collapse, flood, and all those things, fire, it can lead to separation and all those things. So these are situations that can make life very traumatic and miserable. Then the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like, This one I think quite easy to understand, huh? Especially those who are with their in-laws that are not so easy to live with. Then even students at school, huh? You can meet with bullies and all those things. Then sometimes you are so unfortunate in life, you end up with having stepmother, stepfather and all those things. Then even those who go out to work in the career field, sometimes you may encounter certain bosses or superiors that are not so friendly. Then they are like people whom you don't like. Then there can be situations where they can actually make you miserable. You heard of nowadays what they call harassment. Yeah? So there are certain CEO or bosses, they manage their staff by harassment and fear. They harass you and put fear into you because they know that you need the job. So when you confront this type of situation, I tell you, the fear can be very real, very traumatic. Then the seventh one is when your expectations are met. Sorry, expectations are not met. Are not met. When you cannot get what you want. When things don't go your way. It can also bring about a lot of sadness, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness. This one can come in many ways, especially in your office or career field or the place you work. If you have already sacrificed so much and worked so hard, expecting to be promoted, then what happens is someone else or your colleague get promoted. Then you become very unhappy, very stressful. Then you also have situation where you expect your boyfriend to understand you or your girlfriend to understand you. Then you cannot get what you want. Then you expect your sisters, your brother to understand you, to love you, your parents. But according to your wrong view, you perceive it negatively. Then you realize that you end up suffering because your expectations are not met. So this is where suffering is. And these realities happen everywhere. And it can summarize to you all of life realities. That's why the eight realities of life. The last one is meditative. You need to meditate to understand. Huh? So the Buddha say in short, he summarized all of suffering. It is due to your delusion. That condition you to grasp and cling on to your so-called human being, five aggregates of form and mind. This is the human being, or what you think you are. So in short, it is due to your delusion that condition you to grasp and cling on to. Your five aggregate of form and mind that he called dukkha. Dukkha or suffering. So this reality I have already summarized. So in order to understand life, you need to understand this reality clearly. So that you know these are suffering, these are misery. It makes you very miserable. There's a lot of fear, there's a lot of worry, a lot of sorrow, lamentation, and suffering, and unhappiness. There's suicidal tendency, depression, everything comes about because of all this. So if you don't really understand life, when you encounter this reality, you can be miserable. That's why this topic is very important. So that you can cope with life, with all the great intricacy and challenges of life. so that life can be more meaningful, so that we really know how to live life. So this is the first noble truth. Then the Buddha goes on to explain the second noble truth. So the second noble truth that is cause arising of suffering. Cause of its arising. This is very important. If you understand what is suffering, then you know the cause behind. This is where the understanding helps you. So the Buddha said, the cause of its arising is always your craving, born of your delusion, or lack of understanding of who you are, what you are. So this lack of understanding brings about suffering. It will condition you to attach, cling, grasp, hold on to all these things. Then your craving, if it's not satisfied, it can actually make you miserable and afflicted. So when you understand what is suffering and the cause, then you can manage your life better. You can actually go about doing something about your life. So if you understand that these are very important truth and reality, you will determine to actually cultivate the understanding so that you can overcome all this, what they call life reality, so that you can confront them with wisdom, so that you need not suffer. Then after that, the Buddha didn't end. He continued with the third noble truth. This is what you look forward to. The third noble truth, the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So this gives us a lot of hope, isn't it? A lot of joy, because there is a noble truth that talks about the ending of all suffering. Cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, is possible. So suffering need not be if you have this understanding or wisdom. This will bring about a lot of joy, a lot of hope. That's why as Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate. We don't have to worry about all this question of life. We don't have to believe what people tell us. We don't have to worry about when we die, what will happen. What is death? Like, very mysterious. But all this can be understood, the Buddha said. Once you meditate, you develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you understand his teaching. Then you will come to this great understanding that suffering need not be. As you go through life, you can, in fact, develop the wisdom to truly live life without having to worry about life. Then life becomes meaningful. Life takes a different dimension. And that is what the Buddha meant by heedful living. Living life with understanding. That's why this topic, understanding of life, is very important. When you don't have the understanding, you live a heedless life. A heedless life means a person who don't understand, get themselves entangled and become miserable. And they suffer, following the first noble truth reality. But the Buddha said life need not be like that. Life can be beautiful, meaningful, peaceful, full of harmony, love. That's why the misconception of the first noble truth, now you understand, not life is suffering. No, life need not have suffering. So the last noble truth, which is the fourth noble truth, is the best. The Buddha said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. This is the meditation. This is what you need to actually focus on and develop the cultivation. So with this brief introduction, I will now start off with the explaining of how the Buddha wants you to understand what is life. so that you know how to live life. So under this Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha make it very clear. He said, in order to understand life, the first path factor is right view. You must have right understanding of life. You must have the right understanding of all the nature's laws that governs life and existence. Because this universe is a very unique universe. It has its boundary condition all set. The Buddha said there are five great orders or nature's order within life. He called it the Pancha Niyamas. They govern all of life. So when you understand all these five universal order that governs all of life, you will understand life and you will know how to live according to them. Of the five, the first two are scientific law. The other three are spiritual law, which the Buddhas are very interested in and they are very good in it. So the first two, I think most of us have heard before. Eh? The scientific law got two. First is Uttaniyama, or what they call the physical law of nature. All physical things, science, physics, chemistry, they follow this law. Then the second one is biological order. All biological things that has life, organic in nature, they follow this law. And because of these two laws, the scientists, they are very good at them. That's why they penetrate these two laws. Then they progress so fast. That's why our civilization, we are very lucky. We are very fortunate in the sense that the last 30, 40 years, the world evolved so fast because of these two understanding of these two great laws. So likewise, the Buddha said, if you understand the three spiritual laws, you can be even better than the scientist. Because it can lead you to the understanding of life, to the understanding of all the spiritual laws that governs life and existence, that can make a big difference to your life, so that you can realize the highest human potential, that is to become enlightened, so that you can free your mind, you can liberate your mind, so that there is no more suffering to you. Then life becomes meaningful, life takes a turn, then you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You can live life to the fullest. There is a lot of joy, there is a lot of peace, a lot of love, a lot of harmony within your life. So this aspect is what we actually target ourselves to develop as a Buddhist. So what are the three spiritual laws that the Buddha talked about? These three spiritual laws that the Buddha talked about, they are very simple and yet very profound. The first one is law of karma. Three spiritual laws. First one is karma niyama, or law of karma. Karma niyama. Second one is citta niyama, or law of the mind. Then the last one is Dhamma Niyama, or nature's order of Dhamma. Karma Niyama is very important because the Buddha said all of living beings, irregardless of whether you are a human being or animal or even devas, you are all born of your karma, here to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. And this law, this understanding, the Buddha said, you must reflect every day. It is one of the five daily contemplation that you have to contemplate. And the last one is this one, right view with regards to law of karma. So that when you understand this law, you will come to understand that all of our life depend entirely almost on karma. Because we are born of it, here to it, conditioned, supported by it, and we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of that law of karma. So what must we do? We must take care of karma. Yeah. When you take care of karma, you will know how to live life. But how do we take care of karma? In order to take care of karma, we need to train our mind to be ever mindful, so that we can be mindful of our mental intention behind all our action, speech, and thought process, so that we are incapable of evil. The law of karma is you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. That's why the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183, comes about because of this right view. The Buddha said, all Buddhas, when they arise, they will teach living beings the same truth. There are three things you need to do in life. You follow these three, your life will be beautiful. These are the advice of all Buddhas, he said. He said, Sabba papasa akranang, kusalesa upasambadan, sacittad paridapanang, etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is, all evil you have to avoid. That's why if you want to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. Then whatever good, whatever wholesomeness, you have to do. And this is to cultivate wholesomeness, so that your merits, your blessing, your wholesomeness can actually become positive karma that can actually help you to have the good life, to have the happy life. Then the last one is to purify your mind. So the Buddha actually developed this Dhammapada verse to help living beings. Because he said, even let's say, if you can avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. To avoid all evil, he recommends the five precepts. That's why you undertake the training rule to observe the five precepts during every puja. You must understand why you do that. Because people who violate these precepts, they commit negative karma. Let's take, for example, the first precept. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. What does it mean? The Buddha said, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Who are the people who cause harm or kill fellow living beings? They are people who are very violent, very aggressive, very selfish, or very deluded. That's why these are the people with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why it constitutes evil. Then it will create negative karma. Then in future, when there is condition, because you reap what you sow, people will kill you and harm you. That's why all these are nature's law. You cannot avoid. If you want to avoid the condition for all this to happen, you don't want people to kill you and harm you, you must keep this precept very well and have more love, have more compassion and understanding. So now coming back to the advice of the Buddha, is it? You understand why you need to avoid all evil, do good, that's why you will keep your precept. Then you know how to live your life. The Buddha said, if you do this, then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. Because there is two Dhammapada verse, 1 and 2, the twin verse. The Buddha talked about happiness and suffering. He said, if you are heedless, if you don't take care of mind, then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. Under Dhammapada verse 1, the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So if we don't take care of mind, then we will act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, with an unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hood. So this leads to suffering. If you are heedless, if you don't develop the understanding of life following the Buddha's teaching, you become heedless. Your life becomes miserable. Suffering will follow you. Then the opposite to inverse, Dhammapada verse 2 is very beautiful. We say, if you understand the importance of this mind, then you were determined to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind, that is free of these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. Now you come to understand. Through this simple understanding, you can actually help change your life destiny. To be miserable or to be happy is entirely your choice. So if you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and do good, you will have a lot of happiness in life. But this is not enough, the Buddha said. If you don't follow the third advice to purify your mind and develop wisdom before you encounter certain realities of life and existence, which can be very harsh, you still can become miserable. Even though your merits, your blessings, your karma are very good, but because of your ignorance, you become miserable. Because when you confront death, or when you confront certain situations like traumatic disease, getting old, separation from loved ones and possession, when you are with people whom you don't like, and when you cannot get what you want, if your mind, without wisdom, still react and become afflicted, miserable, and then this is still suffering. This one got nothing to do with whether you have good or bad karma. Not that much. It's more of life reality that you cannot cope with. So the Buddha said you have to develop the meditation, the purification of mind, leading to the wisdom and the understanding and the non-delusion, so that you don't deludedly grasp and hold on to this so-called human being, thinking that this is you, that this is real. And because of this, when you cling, you fear that this body of yours may get old, get sick, and die. But when you develop the wisdom and penetrate its universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, that this form of mind is just a karmically conditioned form of mind for you to come to this world, for you to use it to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, then you are not deluded. Then you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die. Then you don't have to cling to all of the feeling, perception, or activity of mind or consciousness that arise and pass away. For you know them for what they are. That one need meditation. That one need a lot of cultivation. So this third advice can actually completely free your mind, liberate you, and make you enlightened, so that suffering need not be following third noble truth. And to do that, you have to cultivate the fourth noble truth, noble eightfold path. And the most important path factor is samasati, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. When you can do that, your mind will be free. So this is an initial summary to you as to what you need to understand. And then we now go into life. I will wrap off this one. We will now go into life. So in order to understand life in a very practical way, I will ask you one question. What is your purpose and meaning in life? What do you really intend to do? And how does this purpose and meaning come about? Anybody want to try? Or answer this very important life question. Anybody? What is the meaning of life to you? Purpose? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, if nobody, then maybe we will share this understanding. You see, to different people, as you go through life, you will develop different ambition and different purpose. You agree or not? Everyone is different. To a person who is very I should say, very poor, very miserable, where they can't even have their 3 meals a day. They can't even have a proper shelter over their head. To them, the purpose of life is what? He just want to work for the 3 meals and have a proper shelter over their head. But for others who are more fortunate, when you are born in a better family, where you have good parents who provide you with all the basic necessities, then you have different ambition in life. Then this ambition or purpose also vary from person to person. Because for most of us, we try to seek what they call material success. Understand? So materialistic success. Materialistic success. They always equate life to this. If I can have materialistic success, I will be happy. Grandma, this is what you look forward to. So what do you look forward to in life? Materialistic success. Financial freedom. True or not? You want to have enough money so that you can enjoy life. Okay? So first one is financial freedom. Financial freedom. How many of you already achieved that? There are many, Because this one quite easy. Then what else? Career success, isn't it? Career success. Means you are successful in whatever you pursue. Your job, your career, your business, and all those things. And even for sportsmen. Then what else? What do you look forward to? Those people who can see on good health. After that, you realize health is very important. Correct? Oh, you're very worried about your health. They say, when you are young, you talk about what they call passion, what you like to do. Then you share all your adventure. As you get older, like my colleague and classmate, when we meet, now they talk about health. This is the most important. Last time they talk about money. Then they talk about their career, how they reach the pinnacle of their career, financial success and all those things. Then fourth one is what? Good? What? Family relationship. Understand? Or great harmony in your relationship with your loved ones. Then what else? Any more you can think of? What do you want? To do the things that you like to do, isn't it? That we like to do. Okay? Let's say you are very successful in all this. If you want to include your earlier success, you can. Like when you go through school. Academic success. So academic success can also be one of them before this. You excel academically. Let's say you're able to have this financial freedom. You have more than enough money. You can retire early. Then you are able to actually reach the pinnacle of your career life. And you become very successful, very famous. Then after that, with your money, you can try to maintain good lifestyle and have good life. But most people cannot. When they get too much money, their lifestyle go the other way. When they don't have money, they're very healthy. They work very hard. But when they have too much money, I think in Cantonese there is a saying, isn't it? Choi to san ji yo. You heard of that? When you have too much wealth, your health become very weak. Then good family relationship. This one very difficult to come by. Those who have money, the family usually, I don't say always, become messy. They fight over inheritance, too many wives and all those things. Then, how many of you can really retire to do the things that you want to do in life? Very few. Everybody is still working. Worry about not enough time. So let's say you have all this. You're very fortunate. You're able to achieve all this. Do you think you got no more problem? You still got problem. Well, as you grow old, this health is not guaranteed. Understand that? Because this physical body goes the way of nature. Finally, it will succumb. Then you have to confront the reality of old age, sickness, and pending death. Then separation from Lord. All these are very traumatic. That's why without wisdom, the Buddha said, materialistic success alone doesn't guarantee good life. So you need spiritual understanding. This one is the most important understanding. So this spiritual success, where you understand, will complement your life. Because without this understanding, materialistic success alone is not enough to ensure the good life. Because you are still vulnerable. You are still very fragile in the sense that when there is a bad news, you will be afflicted. And you will become miserable, unhappy, full of sadness, sorrow, and lamentation when confronting the First Noble Truth reality that I spoke about. So spiritual understanding is what you need to develop. That's why you need to meditate. You need to go into it. Then we now come to the actual phase of life. So assume that as a human being, our mortality rate is about 75, correct? Agree, yeah? So let's say we can live for 75 years. You can divide this into three phases. Phase one is what? 1 to 25. What you do? Then 26 to 50. Then 51 to 75. What do you do? Phase one is what? You grew up as a kid. Correct? Right? Then you went to school. You study. Of course, for those who are not fortunate, they may not have this opportunity. But most of us, I think we have. We go to school. So this first phase, most of us already gone through. Or some of you are at the tail end. Okay? Actually, if you know how to make use of this phase, it can be your happiest phase of your life. But those who have the spiritual understanding, this phase turned out to be the happiest moment of their life. Understand? Not? But those who don't have spiritual understanding, this phase is the most miserable. Then, of course, after that, you go and work. Career. You work. Career. This is childhood. Okay? So this one is old age. For those who are fortunate, they make it, this is the retirement phase. Understand not? So the purpose of life and the meaning of life, we come and discuss it. Maybe childhood phase, you don't have much ambition. Your parents ask you to study, you study. But you're very unhappy at times. You want to play. You want to have a lot of your, what they call, passion to do all the things that kids like to do. You like to be adventurous and take risks and do all this. Nowadays, maybe the smartphone and all those things, computer, everything. Then you like to go out with your own peers. Then you like to live the lifestyle that the norm or the peer pressure give to you. So this phase is easy. Most of us go through. But for me, I actually like this phase because you don't have to worry about making money. Your parents look after whatever you need. Then when I was about to go into university, I got a scholarship. So I don't have to worry so much. This phase, I also managed to live very well. I did all those things that kids can go through. We actually were fortunate. We were born after Second World War. Then we experienced the 50s and the 60s where civilization was very backward. Then we experienced the transition period of the 70s, 80s. And then the boom now, 80s onward. All of the advancement. Or we, at our peak of our career, get to actually experience all this. That's why I say this phase of my life is the most beautiful. So after that, you come out to work. This second phase. After you work this second phase, you still want to work in the third phase. You want or not? If you're busy working, you never get to live life. Understand or not? Understand or not? So for me, I plan my life in such a way, I say, if I know that there are three phases, I will determine to work only up to the point I need to work. Then after that, I want to retire. Then I was lucky. I hit somewhere here, then I retire. I remember I was at the age of 46 or 47. Because my kid already graduated, I didn't need much money to survive. Then financial freedom, I got it early. I was very lucky. So I reached the pinnacle of my career too. Then I have touch wood, fairly good health. Then I got a very good family relationship. Then I can do the things that I want to do since the year 2001, when the date I retired. I already retired 14 years. So if you have to work, you got no choice because of financial, your kids want to go overseas and all things, then you work. Understand or not? That is, you have to work. Understand or not? The second one is, if you need to work, you know the difference or not? What is the meaning of need to work? Have to work means you have to work where you need money. But need to work means what? There are some people I talk to, they say, cannot, is it you? After you retire, what you do? They don't know what to do. No? They say life can become miserable. No? Because you got no more status, no more contact. Then too much free time, don't know what to do. Then I say, these are the people who need to work, then you go and work. Understand not? But if you really know how to plan your life, you should actually plan it. Because this phase, the third phase, this one is not guaranteed. Understand not? Not guaranteed. Not guaranteed means what? You are not sure you can live until that phase. Understand not? There are many who pass away before the age of 50. So this phase is the best because during this phase, most of us, if you can retire, you would have financial freedom. Then you can like do the things that you want to do. So this is the phase where you can really live your life to the fullest. Of course, you have to confront old age, sickness and death and all that. That's why you need spiritual understanding. Otherwise, it's not easy. Okay? So when you understand this, it's up to you to plan your life. Because for me, I realized that even at this age, let's say 46 or 47, I think it's 47, to 75. How many years do I have? 28 years, correct? And out of this 75, I think, before the age of 70, we are still healthy, isn't it? Correct? Huh? So which means I got 18 years of very good, healthy life to do the things that I want to do and to spend more time with my family, to travel, to do whatever I want to do. So that can be your purpose of life if you want to, but you can have different ambition, different priority. That is up to you to plan. But without spiritual understanding, it's very difficult for you to understand all this and plan it accordingly. Because this third phase, most people don't get to live it with full understanding. Most people succumb to it. Yeah. Then there's another part that I need to explain to you. Yeah? About life, about existence. We can equate life to what? To live life is to? To live life is to what? To exist, isn't it? Correct or not? When you live life, you need to go through existence, isn't it? Existence. Yeah. So to go through existence, yeah, life can be equated to existence, and existence can be equated to time. Correct or not? Time. So as we all understand, time we can define the whole spectrum of time. They are what? Past, present, and future. This will define the whole spectrum of time. Of all these three, past, present, and future, which is the reality? Yeah? Which one is the reality? Ah, present moment, very good. So past already gone. Yeah? Already gone, not a reality. Gone. Yeah? Not a reality. Future. Also not a reality. Huh? Yet to come. Okay? Yeah. So this present moment is the only reality in life. In life. So knowing this, what must you do? You must ask yourself the question, isn't it? If the past is already gone, not a reality, if I think about it, I project my thought, it got no meaning, isn't it? It make me miserable, understand? Or make me recall the unhappy past and become unhappy. Condition your mind state. But these are all thought, understand? Then the future yet to come, you project into the future, you develop what? Unnecessary fear. You say, what if? When people come to know, like pending death, when you die, what happened? All these are not reality, your thought projection. These are the things that the Buddha said you are not supposed to attend to. When you attend to things that are unfit for attention, suffering will arise. Negative thought will arise. Defilement, asavak, will arise. There's an undersubbed asavak sutta. The Buddha make it very clear. So when you understand that these two are not reality, you focus on the reality. That's like present moment. That's why all the teaching talk about present moment awareness, mindfulness. But the thing that you need to understand is, you have to ask yourself this question. If the moment is the only reality, then what must I do? And the big question is, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? You investigate into that. If you don't meditate, it's very difficult to understand because you keep on using your thought. And I can tell you the answer. Then you go back and check. Moment to moment, living beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they never get to live life. Can you understand? Can you follow that? Because you are every moment, every instant, heedless, too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you never live. Never live means what? You never with the moment in peace, in happiness, with clarity of mind. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety. Peaceful. Aware to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Moment to moment, there can be so much joy, so much happiness. But do you get to live that? You always carry your worry with you, your problems with you. Every day busy planning. This one not done, that one not done. Must meet this person. I haven't prepared my exam. My girlfriend unhappy with me. What must I do? My parent got this problem. What must I do? Oh, then you worry about your health. Or you, what happened if it's cancer? How? That is not life, understand? That is worrying about life, understand? But doesn't mean you don't have to attend to life, understand? You have to attend to life because that is the reality. Yes? But to attend to life with understanding, with wisdom, you don't have to worry. Understand? That's why moment to moment, you can also plan your life. You can develop the understanding of life. You can contemplate, reflect, and ask yourself, what are my options? Understand? First, before you do anything in life, when you confront any situation, whether first noble truth, reality, or whatever, you have to calm yourself down and tell yourself, if my mind has got no clarity, peace, I cannot understand what is going on. So in order to have peace, inner awareness and calmness, I have to accept the reality of the moment. Means I don't react first. I don't project my thought and I don't become afflicted, miserable. And I must not stir my mind. Then when I have this understanding, to accept the reality of the moment, then I am at peace. Because there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Then I look at it. Then I recall the Buddha's teaching. If I cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, if I use this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Means what? You have to reflect, contemplate, and ask yourself, how can I move from here? How can I resolve my so-called life situation or problem? How can I resolve it amicably so that nobody gets hurt? Then you realize when you apply Noble Eightfold Path, there is right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And there is right effort to bring about everything that is wholesome and positive. There is no negativity. So it will help you resolve all of your life situation and problem amicably. Having Noble Eightfold Path means what? Right view to not to become heedless, understand not. Right view to understand that there is law of karma. That's why you must arise the right thought, no negativity, no selfishness, no evil roots of anger, hatred, emotion, fear, worry, anxiety. Then all of your speech must be very, very appropriate. Right, gentle, pleasant, and good speeches that bring about harmony, love, compassion, understanding, no negativity. You don't hit out at people. You don't scold people. You don't tell lies. You don't arise the backbiting, the negativity of speech. That's how you should act. Don't get angry and emotional over things. Just speak gently, pleasantly. Approach things with right understanding. Then do all the right action like generosity, respect, contentment, gratitude. Have more and more of this wholesomeness so that Noble Eightfold Path can be put into right practice so that your actions, speech, and thought process are all in accordance. You act this way, then it can free you. But if you can meditate and develop the mindfulness, the heedfulness, then this way is very easy. With this understanding, you will live life with heedfulness, the Buddha said, with right understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. And your mind will be always peaceful, serene, with the right understanding, with the right thought, right speech, right action, and right mindfulness, and right livelihood. And you are very wholesome. That, to me, is more important than go and worry about life. Correct, right? Huh? Creating all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, subject yourself to all the suffering. That is not living life. To me, that is suffering. So if you choose to come to be born as a human being or a living being, make sure you come with this understanding. Otherwise, you come here to become miserable, to be afflicted. Then you might as well don't come. But law of karma is too powerful. You don't have a choice unless you can develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind. So with this, I will end my today's sharing and today's talk. I hope it can help you in your understanding of life. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, any questions for Brother Teo? If there's no questions, I have one for Brother Teo.
Okay.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
Today, nowadays, there's a lot of religious extremism.
Ah, okay.
As a Buddhist, how should we respond? And as a Buddhist parent, how should we explain to our children?
Ah, okay. That's a very good question. Thank you so much. So the question you all heard, nowadays, especially in Malaysia, we read about in the papers, in the media, then also in your Facebook and your, what they call, smartphone. There's a lot of religious extremism. So our brother wants to know, how should we as Buddhists, with our understanding, confront all these things? Then the other question he asks is, as parents, how do we advise our children? You see, to me, these are worldly problems. But of course, worldly problems, worldly people need solution. But the danger is, when I share something, if you don't have the understanding, then you quote me without understanding, then it becomes something that is dangerous. Because you quote my words, which are not wrong. But the understanding behind is different. So what I want you to understand is have an open mind. Try to listen and understand. So that the understanding will set you free. You see, religious extremism is no different from all the other professions that we have in this world. It can be the engineering profession, medical profession, legal profession, or any other profession, accountants and all those things. There are black sheep. You know what is black sheep? Within the profession. Because human mind is like that. With ignorance, with delusion, with selfishness, with what they call craving, to glorify their own religion, they will act that way. They will behave that way. So the Buddha's teaching is very simple. We need to accept them for what they are. Accept them for what they are. Don't get me wrong. Don't quote me out of context. A lot of people say, well, Brother Teo say, let things be lah. Accept them for what they are lah. So they don't do anything. That is not the understanding. Accept them for what they are means what? Means with wisdom, you accept them for what they are, but you don't agree with what they do. Understand or not? Understand or not? Can follow that point or not? They are what they are because they cling on tenaciously to their religious belief. They want to glorify their religion. And what are they doing? They are protecting their religious belief, their labor. Understand not? Through what? Through their views and opinion. That's why you say anything about their religion, they become very, very unhappy. And they demand justice. They want to take action and all those things. So people who do that, they actually emphasize on form level, Dhamma, Anasana, or spiritual teaching not there. They are more interested in the form level type of right and wrong. So if you do that, the views and opinion of that nature will arise. But religion is about what? Religion is about teaching living beings to avoid evil, do good. Then some religion develop wisdom, understanding. So when we come to accepting them for what they are is, as a Buddhist, the Buddha said, we have this understanding and wisdom, we will know. Deluded people will say deluded things. Angry people will say angry things. Selfish people will do selfish things. So they are what they are. So if your emphasis is on the form level, then to me it has got no meaning. What is religion? That religious labor doesn't guarantee that you are spiritual. Your spirituality doesn't come from the religious label. If you call yourself Buddhist, you think you will be a Buddhist? If you call yourself a Christian, do you think you will be a Christian? You will never be. To be worthy of the Buddha, what must you do? You don't just say, hey, I'm a Buddhist now. Why? I go to temple every day. I pay respect, I take refuge. Do you think that is the criteria to be a Buddhist? I ask you a question. Do you think that religious label will make you a Buddhist? No. To be a true Buddhist, what must you do? You must at least heed the advice of the Buddha. Understand not? What is the advice of the Buddha? You got it written on your gate there, on the reverse side. You can follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, then you don't have to call yourself Buddhist. You are spiritual. You are worthy of him. Understand not? Likewise, a Christian. You call yourself a Christian. Every day you advocate and try to glorify your religion and say bad things about other religion. Is that a religious person? You don't have the embodiment of Jesus' love and his compassion, you are far from being a true Christian. Understand not? So if you really has Jesus' love and compassion and you heed his advice to keep the Ten Commandments, then you become spiritual. You become religious. Then you are a true religious person. Understand not? Then you won't go and glorify your religion. You will go and promote your religion through understanding, through harmony, following his teaching of great love and compassion. So as Buddhists, we do the same. You cannot stop all these black sheep from doing what they want. Understand? And you end up arguing with them. You end up no different from them. Understand? What you do, you try to protect and glorify your religion to understand not. But like the Buddha said, if you have really cultivated your wisdom, your virtue, your understanding, they will shine forth like the fragrance of the incense, far and wide. And so people can feel you. They can be touched by you. To me, this is a better way of confronting them. You don't have to end up arguing with them, justifying and fighting. No point. They are not in the position to understand because when they are in that state of mind, they will think like that, act like that, say like that. It becomes conflict. No point. That's why Krishnamurti is very good, is it? If you want peace in this world, we don't go and talk about peace. So, you talk about peace, everyone is selfish. Means their peace is according to what? Their belief system and their selfishness. What is beneficial to them is the peace they want to put on the table. Anasana. Like the Americans. American interest first, then we talk about peace. Otherwise, no peace. So Krishnamurti understood this. He said, the human mind is like that. So he said, this peace will never come about in this world unless each and every one of us, regardless of religious labor, the individual must change, transform. If we have Dhamma, if we have love, compassion, understanding, wisdom and virtue, then the individual will change. Then as you change, you have the potential to touch other people. Then with the same understanding, other people will change. Otherwise, all these people will not change. Understand not? So all this needs a lot of understanding, a lot of patience, a lot of determination, a lot of sacrifice. That's why the great bodhisattvas, they have this type of mind, they have this type of vow, and they continue to do it life after life for eons and eons and eons, just to liberate living beings, just to benefit living beings. And this is how you should approach it. So I hope you can understand my sharing. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Brother Dio. Your answers is very enlightening. Any more questions for Brother Dio? If no more questions, then we would like to invite Brother Dio to lead us in the sharing of merits.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it's a very good practice for Buddhists, as advised by the Buddha. We have a pre-puja before we start any Buddhist activity. Then after you listen, you straighten your view, you develop the wholesomeness of mind, then we should transfer and share all these merits. So now we recall to mind all of the wholesomeness and goodness that we have done today. Since this morning, when you come to the temple, you have composed your mind, developed the faith, the sadha, then the virya, then you pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha. Then you start your puja offering. Then you rejoice. Then you do your chanting. You take refuge. You pay respect. You chant the salutation to the Buddha. Then you renew your five precepts. Then you dedicate your life to so many things that are so wholesome as stated in your chanting book. Then you listen to the Dhamma. You straighten your view. Then you rejoice, you have a lot of understanding and wholesomeness. Then you have faith. So with all this, you should rejoice. Then we will transfer and share all these merits with all beings. So we will start by transferring and sharing merits to all the devas. I will chant in Pali. Those who understand, you can follow. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiye idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yao nivana patia. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
Buddham pujemi. Dhammam pujemi. Sangham pujemi. Thank you, Brother Teo. On behalf of the SJBA, we thank you very much.